Hello, and welcome to the River's Edge Church Podcast, Extra Conversations with Pastor Dave. We're excited to share another episode with you today. And now, here's Pastor Dave.
Welcome back to the REC Podcast. We're just doing something called Extra Conversations, and that's where we take what was preached this past Sunday, and we just do an extra conversation on that. So I'm here with Pastor Bethany. Pastor Bethany, hello.
Hello.
All right, so for our listeners who don't know, what do you do here at REC? What's your job?
So my main role is I oversee all of our life groups, which are our groups that meet outside of Sunday morning to grow in connection with each other and with God. And that also includes a lot of women's ministry. So I also do a lot with our women's ministry.
Cool. And you know what's cool about that? You know, compared to you, I'm newer to REC, like right the last couple of years. And I've just noticed how well this church does with life groups. You know, so many people want to dive deeper and get into the relationship with God in community. And I just think it's amazing. And I know you've seen that too, right?
Yeah. And talking about spiritual disciplines, I mean, being in community and connection with people is a discipline. It's something that you have to work at. For some people, it doesn't always come natural and easy to do, but we weren't meant to journey and walk with God alone. We were meant to do it with other people.
So. Absolutely. I mean, Jesus sends people out two by two. Yeah. It's, you know, he collects a group of 12 people to do ministry with. And yeah, I totally agree. And it's always so great to have a robust life group ministry here. I've been leading in my life group, I guess since I got here, like 2.5 years ago, and it's just been a phenomenal experience for me. So if you're not in a life group, we just want a quick plug. Get in a life group. It's a great thing for your spiritual health. And if you don't go to REC, if you're just listening from out there in the podcast universe, find a local church, get in a life group, do community with people. It's super, super important.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've been on a new series called The Disciplined Life. What are disciplines, Pastor Bethany?
So what I would say are disciplines, or just in general, disciplines are intentional things that we do in our life to grow at something. And so you can be disciplined in learning a new sport or a new hobby. But spiritual disciplines, spiritual habits and rhythms, those are the intentional acts and things that we're doing to grow our relationship with God so that we can grow deeper and experience more transformative experiences in our life. And so spiritual disciplines are the acts, the practices that help us in growing closer with God.
Yeah, and they form and shape who we are, right? And I think the important thing about disciplines is not that we do them for God. It's not like God's up in heaven and is like, all right, they prayed today. You know, he fasted. I'm gonna mark that on his permanent record. It's more of like you do it with God.
Yeah.
It's an intentional like, all right, Lord, I'm fasting and I want to be with you.
Yep.
And I want to hear from you.
Yep. It's creating.
Yeah.
You're putting yourself in a posture, a place, so that you can experience and be and hear from God. So It's our intentional, it's the way that we intentionally posture ourselves.
What I like, the disciplines is clearly, it's a concept that somebody came alongside, you know, Dallas Willard, Richard Foster, they came alongside the Bible and said, here's what people naturally do in scripture and what they talk about. Jesus doesn't necessarily say, here's a list of 12 disciplines, and in order to have a great spiritual life, this is what you have to do. Jesus was talking, he was like, oh yeah, when you fast and when you pray and when you do this, when you do that, you know, he just kind of assumed that we were doing these things as spiritual practices. And some of these things, you know, we have to look backwards at because they're not entirely like natural to us.
Yeah.
So the first sermon that I preached on just having a disciplined life and what the disciplines were is very basic as to an introduction of the disciplines. I guess one quick random caveat that I want to say before we get into this discussion is that if you turn the discipline into a law, then that is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
If you turn like Bible reading into legalism and you whip yourself and lash yourself for for missing a day because you were sick or you were traveling or something like that. It's like, that is not the intention I think that the Lord has for you.
Yeah. No, spiritual disciplines are meant to bring freedom and life, not create bondage. So if the disciplines or the practices or the habits create a bondage or a sense of like must do, have to do, then you're no longer living in freedom with Jesus.
I've got a dumb example I want to use for you. Okay. So I was skateboarding with my brother-in-law who happens to be a professional skateboarder, and I kept trying to do this trick and I kept doing it wrong. And so he told me, he said, you have to stop doing the trick right now. And I said, why? And he said, you have to stop trying it. And I said, why? He goes, because you're doing it wrong and you're training yourself every single time to do it the wrong way. And so you just have to stop for a little while, go do something else and come back to it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know how much this totally connects, but the idea of like, we could train ourselves in a negative way. Mm-hmm. And we think we're bringing life. We think right. we're doing the right thing,
right.
but we're actually training ourselves right. poorly.
And it actually then messes with your image of God and how you view God.
Mm, can you unpack that a little bit?
Oh gosh.
No, well, I think you're right.
Yeah. Well, because if we are put in this place of bondage that we have to do something in a certain way, then the way that we view God is that God only loves us or only wants to be with us if we are doing specific things or following certain rules and proceeding in a certain manner. The truth is that God loves us because we are his children.
That's
and
right.
He wants to be with us. And that when we connect with God, when we know God, when we are with God, our desire, our response is to want to obey and do things that are going to help us draw closer to God. And so the way that we live out the disciplines becomes a response of knowing we're loved, not in order to be loved. So
yeah. So, I mean, we're not doing the disciplines to earn the right. favor of God.
Right.
It is, we do the disciplines and we walk deeper into God's presence.
Right.
And so, and in that space, he transforms us.
Yes.
He's the transforming one. Okay. So the disciplines in Richard Foster's book, if you've never read this book, it's called Celebration of Discipline, and it's just a phenomenal, timeless read. I think it was published first in the 80s. I can't remember.
Oh, I think the
70s. Was it the 70s? I don't know. You and I both weren't alive. You know, Richard Foster published this before we were born.
Yep, 78.
And okay, 78, that's when, I'm going to say that's when my parents got married. or the 76, one of the two. Anyhow, it's one of these reads that if you've never read it, just go on Amazon, buy it. You'll find it. You could probably find it used for next to nothing and work through it slowly. It is one of those really, just really inspired books that is out there on how to walk deeper with God. Mm-hmm. So Pastor Bethany, you unpacked the inward disciplines. So why don't we talk a little bit more about those? Let's try and get a little practical with them. What on earth is meditation?
So,
I think Hinduism, yeah, I think yeah. like a monk with, you know, like wearing next to nothing in freezing cold air in the Himalayas with steam coming off of him. That's what I think of.
Right. And that's honestly where I think people, Christians, I will say, get a little bit weary or leery. Leery is a better word. Of practicing meditation because there's a lot of negative cultural connotations connected to it or with it that you hear, like yoga or mindfulness. That's a really big thing right now. Mm.
Yeah, because that tracks deeply with like manifesting your own, what you want. Yeah.
Yep. And it's sort of like you, like the empowering yourself kind of idea. And a lot of that with meditation is about really emptying yourself and just sort of like having nothing. But in Christian meditation, we are filling our, it's about being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the presence of God, with Jesus with us. And so it's really about learning how to hear and to listen and to know the presence of God.
Yeah.
And so you're filling yourself. So there isn't emptying, but it's an emptying of not my will, not my desire to be filled with the love and the truth of God.
Yeah. So before this podcast, I was telling you, like, I don't know, I'm not good at meditation. I don't think I'm really good. And then you pointed out something on my desk. You're like, that's meditation.
Yeah. So Pastor Dave on his desk, he has a little thing that says, "You have shown them your mind, now show them my heart." And it says God. And so I asked him, I said, "Oh, did God speak this to you?" And he said, "Yeah." And he told me the story of how it happened. Yeah. And I said, "This is meditation." And so meditation is about knowing God and being known by God. And so when we sit in a silence and stillness, and again, not about what I think or what I know or what I want to say, and we allow God to speak words of truth to us, words of scripture to us, that is meditation. So when you all of a sudden have this sense of, wow, I am loved by God, like God loves me, that's experiencing Christian meditation.
Mm. Yeah. So kind of the backstory behind this thing, what Pastor Bethany just read, is I was unsatisfied with preaching, and I loved preaching for so long. And I was unsatisfied. I went through a season of dissatisfaction, and I was like, God, what is it? And partly I love preaching because God and I connect through the intellectual. So like, it's like heaven and earth kiss. When I get into intellectual stuff, I love listening to a good lecture. I love digging into the commentaries. I love it all. And the problem was I was turning the pulpit into a lectern, and into like a college seminary level lectern, and giving lectures every week rather than sermons. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was like, God, what is it? I don't know what it is. I feel like I'm putting in the work. I feel like I'm doing it right. I feel like I'm digging into it. And I was swinging with my kids at the park, and I was sitting on the swing, and it was just this voice. It wasn't even, I don't know how to explain it. It's not audible. It just like all showed up at once. And you have shown them your mind. And God was like convicting me. You showed them what you could do. Now show them who I am, mm-hmm. my heart. And that changed everything about the way I preached. Mm-hmm. And I keep that now on my desk. And the funny thing is, I didn't know I was meditating.
Well, meditation. So really, like, what's great about this is what you were just talking about is we think a lot in our head. And so we can know a lot about God, but without actually knowing God. And right. meditation is the part of knowing God. It is that heart. It's that heart connection. It's that experience.
You had mentioned in your sermon about the sheep hearing the voice of God. Mm-hmm. And when, I just wanted to share with you a quick story. When I was in Israel, they brought a shepherd out who could speak English. And I thought about this when you were preaching, and I thought, oh man, I got to share this on the podcast. So the shepherd talked about how when you train a sheep, you feed the sheep in the morning as a baby, and you talk to it so it learns your voice.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That's awesome.
And then so when Jesus says, like, my people know the sound of my voice, mm-hmm. my sheep know my voice,
yeah,
and I'm the good shepherd, he is saying, like, listen, I've been speaking to you, you know when I speak in your life, you know it.
Yep.
And it was like, wow, that's just so hardcore.
Well, even like your this word phrase that God spoke to you, that if we don't know God's voice, then we won't know, is that God's voice or is that my voice, or did somebody else say that to me, or did I read that in a book?
Was like, it a spicy burrito?
So meditation is the practice. It helps us to know that when something is comes that mm-hmm. it's like, oh no, that's God.
And for me, it was so prolific mm-hmm. that I clearly memorialized it. Right. I made a graphic. Yeah. I put it on a little frame, and it's been sitting on my desk for probably 10 years now.
Yeah.
And it's something that I remember when I moved up here, I was like, oh, this is like the most important thing to move. I got to keep this.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is so important.
Yeah. And that's, I think people forget that meditation, that the value and the importance of knowing God, not just knowing about God, of knowing, really knowing God, helps to take something from head to heart and really bridge those.
Yeah. I remember even meditating before I was a Christian, now that I think about it. I'd be out in the ocean. I'm like, all right, God, if you're really there, send some waves. send a good wave, you know? And it was like thinking, but even it was a kid,
yeah.
I was a kid,
yeah.
you know? And yeah. I'm like trying to think about like, all right, God, if you're really yeah. real, do you hear me? You know?
Well, so going off of that, sorry, just to,
that's okay.
Meditation actually is not about getting anything from God.
Right.
Meditation is about being. It's actually not. So one of the examples I gave of how to practice meditation is something called Lectio Divina.
Right.
Lectio Divina. And even going into that, there is an aspect where you're asking God, hey, God, as I look at this scripture, highlight a word or a phrase for me. So there is an aspect of like you're asking God to reveal something to you. But I've done Lectio Divina. And honestly, there's times where it's nothing has stood out. I haven't, I didn't have any major profound thing come out, but I just spent 20 minutes being with God. And so I left that time still having a deeper connection because I was with God. And so in meditation, it's not about having to get anything or to do anything. It's just about I want to be in the presence of God.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And can you just sort of like unpack Lectio for like in maybe like 30 seconds for those who are listening?
Sure. It's a divine reading, a sacred reading of scripture where you take a really short passage. I would say probably no more than 10 verses and you slowly read through it and you do it four times. And the first time you're asking for a word or the first time you just are reading it to become familiar with it. The second time you're looking for a word or a phrase that sticks out to you. The third time that you read through, you're asking this word or this phrase, how do I connect with that? How does it make me feel? What senses does it bring up in me? What does that do for me? And then the last time through, the fourth time through is what is the invitation for me based off of this word or phrase?
That's awesome. So we're just going to leave you with that on meditation. And, you know, we want to encourage you, maybe even as you're driving, you know, you can meditate. Mm-hmm. You could just say, okay, Lord, what do you have to say to me? I just want to be with you. Mm-hmm. And turn off the noise for a minute.
Yep.
And do that. Turn us off,
yep.
You know, and meditate with God. God is going to do so much more for you than this podcast.
Absolutely.
Right now. Absolutely. Okay. Let's go to the next one. You talked about prayer, this mm-hmm. idea of constant communion with God. And I think prayer is pretty, I don't know, easy, but pretty like, it's pretty thrown around word in the church. Like we do it all the time, right?
Yeah. I think what I talked about and the biggest thing about prayer that people often will forget and miss is the aspect of listening. And when we listen, it means we have to be silent. And so I think it can be really hard for us to be silent. And so then we'll fill it like, okay, I'm going to pray through music or I'm going to pray. And I don't want to, there's so many different ways of praying, like tools. And so I'm not diminishing any of those. Those are really helpful tools. But another tool is listening, is to be able to hear, and means you have to be quiet. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think when it comes to communicating and connecting, when we think about with people, it's easy to do like, oh yeah, I share a story and then they share a story and I'm learning more about them. It's the same with God, that when we talk with God, we can share what's on our heart, but then God wants to share what's on his heart, and we have to be able to listen.
Yeah.
And that's where meditation is helpful, because when you know the voice of God, then you can hear God speaking and to you.
And that's sort of like in my first message, I talked about how the disciplines kind of build on each other.
Mm-hmm.
That this sort of, you know, you'll approach him almost unintentionally,
mm-hmm.
and you'll say, okay, I want to get better in this area, I want to go deeper in this area. And I talked about my discipline of basically riding my bike. Well, and working out, I already had a discipline of study. And what I didn't know is I needed that silence time of riding my bike and letting my brain just wander to, it really was silence, solitude, meditation, kind of all together riding my bike. It wasn't stillness for sure. but it is sort of like, it's what made my study time even more productive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it was like, whoa. So prayer makes meditation more productive.
Yep.
They build on each other. And, you know, when you're connecting with God, it's like, why would you want to do anything else?
Yeah.
You know, It's amazing. It's like, yeah, you could scroll through Instagram for 40 hours this week, or you could pray for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Real quick, centering prayer and intercessory prayer.
Yeah.
You talked about coming into alignment with Jesus.
Yeah. So centering prayer is, it's centering yourself, your being, your mind, your thoughts, your heart, with God. And so really centering prayer is about being still and silent before God. And again, it's going back to meditation a little bit, in the sense of not trying to necessarily get anything, but it's about having alignment with God. And so taking time to have your thoughts just move out of the way, so that God's thoughts, there's more space for God's thoughts to live within your mind, and for God's desires and will to live within your heart. So that centering prayer is a lot of waiting and the just being silent and still before God. Great. And then I didn't get to talk too much about intercessory prayer on Sunday. So one of the things about intercessory prayer, which, just to explain, intercessory prayer is praying on behalf of others. It's interceding on behalf of others. And so oftentimes we think of intercessory prayer as asking somebody, oh, hey, how can I pray for you? Or somebody says, will you pray for me? And so then when we do those things, we are interceding. Another way of doing intercessory prayer is to come and to ask God, how is it that you want me to pray? And then you listen. And so really the first aspect of intercessory prayer in this way is listening. And I've heard incredible stories of people saying, where they would go into a time of intercessory prayer to ask God how to pray, and somebody would come to mind and they would pray for them. They didn't know why or what. And then they would hear a story later on down the line of somebody who was going through something really challenging, potentially maybe taking their life or something, and felt like that urge to not, and that it ended up lining up. And so that's a part of where we are aligning our prayers with God. And so oftentimes we don't know how to pray. Romans 8 talks about that, right?
The Spirit will.
That we don't know how to pray, but God does. And so when we ask God and say, hey, I want to come in alignment with where it is you're moving so that I can pray in alignment with you, that's a way that we can do intercessory prayer.
What I kind of think about is like centering and alignment, like that idea. What I think about that is like, there's times where I just have this like hardcore agenda. Like I'm coming to pray. I'm a list person when it comes to prayer, because I wouldn't know what else to pray for. I've got to make a list. I'm like, all right, God, I don't want to waste your time. Here's my list. I know it's silly, but like that's kind of how I am. And to take that time to say, okay, God, what do you want me to pray for? Like, what's going on in your heart? And how do I tap back into that? And how do I get off my own agenda?
Yeah. There's a great Henry Nouwen quote. I didn't say it, but I can say it here. I don't know exactly how it goes, but he talks about that prayer. Oftentimes people think of prayer as a waste of time, and so they won't always do it. And he says, if Christians only spent a little bit more of their time being wasted, then it would do our world a lot of good.
Amen. One of my favorite prayer quotes is by Saint Cassian, who's like an old desert father, lived in like 300, late 300s AD. And he was talking about developing a virtue and a discipline of patience. Mm-hmm. And then he said, without patience, your prayer life will not be productive.
Yeah.
And because God calls us, just as Jesus said, you know, prayer is, how do I want you to pray? Like the widow who constantly goes back to the judge and pounds on his door and says, give me justice, over and over and over and over. And because of your shamelessness and your relentless pursuit, the judge gives a woman what she wants. He gives her justice. And he's like, yeah, that's how you should pray. And it's like, without patience, you know, you're just going to go like, hey, God, this is what I want. Okay, but if not, no biggie, and I'm out. You know, this is my very like millennial way of praying right there. But essentially, you know, we have to have this idea of patience, and that starts with centering on what God's will is, not our will. And this idea of intercessory prayer, I wanted to back up on that real quick, because I was just thinking of, like, I had three biblical connections as you were talking in my mind, because this is what my brain does. It just goes back to biblical connections. And I was thinking about Abraham interceding for Lot and his wife, and even though his wife looks back. And then I was thinking about Moses on the mountain countless times interceding for his people. He's like, God, my people, you know your people, they're rebellious. They keep doing these rebellion things, but don't destroy them. You don't mm-hmm. want the whole world to get this idea that God just brought us, Yahweh brings his people out just to destroy him. And then, of course, you have Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, and all three of these are intercessory prayers.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, and that's where, going back to the beginning, you were talking about spiritual disciplines are about the with God life. You didn't say it exactly like
yeah.
that. But intercessory prayer is just a great example that we are working with God. We are working like alongside God. We are connecting. We're communing with God.
Right. Well, let's keep going. Fasting is another inward discipline. And this is the one that nobody wants. People are turning the podcast off right now. I just said, don't eat.
Yep.
And they just turned it off. So tell me a little bit about fasting.
Yeah, I'm with you there too. But fasting is really about, what I talked about on Sunday is about feasting on God. So you can put fasting and feasting, but it's about wanting to draw closer to God. And there's things in our life that take focus. And sometimes the things that take focus can be good things, like food. Food is good for you if you eat it in a healthy way. But even that takes our time and our attention away from God. And so fasting is the discipline or act of taking something away in order to feast and to focus on God. And so you don't have to fast with food. You can fast from other things. I know a lot of people, when social media entered our world, mm-hmm. that became something that people would choose to fast from. And whatever, close out their different accounts and whatnot. You could fast from, yeah, there's just lots of things. Food is the most common and what we see in scripture. So
yeah.
Are the examples that we see in scripture. And so
that makes sense. We have these like, bodily urges to eat 3 times a day, minimal, right? And the American diet is not like, it's not conservative. But the other thing too with fasting, I just thought of this interesting example. Behavior wise, when it was just my two girls, and we didn't have Jacob yet, they were both really young, and there was not necessarily research done on electronics. And we had these two old iPads, mm-hmm. like first generation iPads. And I bought on Amazon these like little cushy cases and I gave them to them. And we did a road trip with them. And they were the worst. They were awful. They were the worst on our trip. We were like, what is going on here? Like, what is going on? And so my wife, Desiree, goes, we're just going to take the electronics away. And I was like, well, what are they going to do in the car? Like, that's ridiculous. We're going to take. And she's like, no, we're taking them away. And because I know it's these electronics, they're not like this normally. We're mm-hmm. taking electronics away. So we did this like 15-hour road trip one day, zero electronics. And they're like looking out the window. They're talking to each other. You know, they fight for like 10 seconds, but that was it. They slept. They read books. They did all kinds of other things. They were wonderful. And we were like, oh, maybe it's the iPads.
You're opening a whole nother can here.
But fasting from electronics is even important, is my point.
Absolute 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. There's for kids, for adults, and a lot of us just never had discipline
mm-hmm.
around how to use electronics. So it's something that we have to learn. And
I'm telling you,
fasting is something that can help us.
Nothing creates like a deeper discipline in you than being able to abstain from something,
mm-hmm.
because when you're able to abstain from it, then you have this like it builds self-control in you.
Yep.
And I think that's what fasting does.
Yeah.
It builds.
Well, and so there's an aspect of drawing closer to God, but fasting also can unearth things that maybe we hide underneath by when we are doing things like electronics or even eating. Because if we start thinking about something that maybe we don't want to think about, or we start feeling like anger or something like that, then it's then we go to something like food, or go to social media, or go to something else. And so when you abstain from those things, when you no longer have those crutches, I guess you could call them anymore, we want to be going to God, but these crutches often will get in the way of that. But then when you don't have them there and then you're going to God, then actually you uncover a lot more things about yourself that you didn't realize. Oh, wow. I think you talked about this week one, like you actually can realize, oh yeah, my anger issue is there irregardless of this thing or not this thing, or it will get unearthed.
Sure.
It will be revealed when we're fasting.
And I think that's a really good point. It's like, you know, when you're doing the disciplines, be prepared for God to unearth things in your life and to reveal things to you. And you're like, whoa, that's big. Yep.
And that's what, going back, that's what we want. We want to experience freedom. We want to experience life with God, where we are freed up and we're whole and we're healthy to build, you know, be part of building the kingdom of God. And when there's things that keep us from that, hold us down from that, then we can't do that in a freed up way.
Gotcha. Well, okay, let's talk real quick about study.
Study.
I mean, some people I think are wired for this, and then some people, like you say, study, and they're like, I'm not doing that. I'm not studying. So let's talk about what that means and why that's a discipline.
And that is me. I'm definitely not a big study person, where Pastor Dave is full on the study person. And I shared this on Sunday, one of the things that I think is really important about the value of studying, and this is not just the Bible, of course, but you can actually study a lot of things. And one of the things that I think is really good for us as Christians to study is even like ourselves. Like, and what I think studying does is it can answer the question of why. Why, like when it comes to God and the Bible, like, why do I believe what I believe? When it comes to studying myself, like, why do I do the things that I do? So it can really get at that question of why. The why. And for me, like, when it comes to studying the Bible or studying some sort of resource that's going to help me grow in my faith, the more that I study it, then the more confident I become in like what I believe and what I know to be true. And the same thing, like when I learn more about myself, then the more confident I can become in knowing, oh yeah, actually this is a strength that God gave me and I can live out of this strength. And so it just creates a little bit more confidence in what we
I think that's really important. I don't think that you have to be a Harvard level, Cambridge level studier either.
No.
You know, I think that, you know, what I've got to do, like you said, I like to study, I love to study, I'm wired to study. What I've got to do for messages every single week is probably a lot more than most people study on a regular basis. Unless, you know, some people have to really study up for their jobs. They have to know Excel better than everybody else or whatever it is, water rights, whatever it might be. You have to study in whatever discipline you're in. But I think when it comes to scripture, there's some minimum things that we could do that are really, really easy. There used to be a value in human society for recitation. At our homeschool co-op, we actually host recitations, and some people think it's silly and weird, but we have kids memorize poems and say them, and memorize like famous speeches and then say them. And we have a memorized scripture and then say them. And why? Because it's the process of helping it to live within you. Mm-hmm. And practicing memorization really trains your brain to go back to things and go back to places. So a lot of times when I read a text to preach it, one of the first things I'll do is I'll read it a couple of times and I'll read it out loud. And that's study. And it's fine because what you're doing is you're like training your brain to hear it out loud, to go after what that text says and to live inside you in the event that you ever need to come back to it.
Mm-hmm. You want it to live within you. Did you say that? Live within you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's what study is. You want it to live within you. And it made me think about actually what you just said is, so going back to meditation and the practice of Lectio Divina, that actually came out of, because it was reading scripture was, it was an oral culture.
Right.
And so people weren't reading it. And so that somebody would read scripture and then you'd have to memorize that.
And
you would have to listen to it to hear what is God mm-hmm. saying and speaking to me. So
yeah, and so you take these short passages and you'd read mm-hmm. over and over yep. and over again, and you think about them. And
yep.
And before even there was widespread books, you know, the Gutenberg Press, there was, paintings, like, you know, a lot of people in the modern church today, they don't understand iconography, and they take things like paintings, and they go, oh, well, this is, you know, just it's become a thing that people worship. Well, no, it was commentary. It was visual commentary for the church because they didn't have Bibles and it helped them to dive deeper in what something meant. And they would, and oftentimes they didn't have very many possessions. So they're looking at this thing.
Yeah. Which is study. Yeah.
And thinking deeply about it, which is meditation.
Yes.
And they're growing closer to God through all of that.
Yep.
Now, I think it is important too to kind of rightly divide the Word of God and to study it, and you know, to come out with like a good theology at the end of it, you know, because many people have looked at the Bible and come out in weird places, and I think it is good to.
Yeah, that was one of my quick add-ons. I think on Sunday, as I said, it's really good to study Scripture. I talked about the inductive study method. And which is a investigative sort of self-discovery where you're observing a passage of scripture mm-hmm. and looking at what is it saying? Like what does it say? Like not what does it mean? Not what do I think it means? Not what does it say?
What are the words?
Yep. And then you take that and go based off of what it says, what questions, what might be coming out of this? And then you move to some interpretation and application. And it is really good and important to do that on your own. And it's equally as important to do that with other people and make sure what you are then coming out of scripture with, that you have people in your life that can check to make sure, oh yeah, that is what God is saying, and having other people be around you in that process.
Yeah, I guess it all circles back to your job, and like that's why it's important to be in community because... Yep. You know, you could, when you discuss scripture in community, I remember this old rabbi, who was it? A famous rabbi, you just have to take my word for it, but I remember the quote, and the quote is, it is a sin to read scripture alone. Mm-hmm. And what he meant by that is like, it has to be fleshed out in discussion.
Yeah.
And as you flesh it out with other people, that's where you go, okay, we're approaching good logic, good mm-hmm. theology, what God wants. Yep. We're not approaching something weird. And we are approaching like the heart of God.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, study is incredibly important. And sometimes it's just a good book.
Yeah.
What somebody has written. Like there's tens of thousands of great Christian books out there.
I mean, that's what we're doing with Richard Foster's Celebration of Discipline. We're studying it and then mm-hmm. talking about it. Real quick, and you probably have some things to add into this, but I did have people ask me, about with the inductive Bible study method, of what are good resources to use. And one of the things that I think is a really good resource to have when you're doing inductive Bible study method is to have some Bible dictionaries to have some background commentaries. Mm-hmm. And the difference between...
You can
give some thoughts too. The difference between a background commentary and just a commentary is that a background commentary is going to give you a bit more of the historical and cultural and social context of what is going on. It's not just telling you what the passage means. Where if you read a lot of commentaries, they're telling you what they think it means through their lens. of what's happening. And commentaries are good to read. I'm not saying they're bad to read, but I'm just talking about the inductive Bible study method.
Right.
That background commentaries are really helpful resources because they help you understand what was going on. So as you are observing and you're asking questions, you have a better understanding of what was going on in that time. And then, yeah, a Bible dictionary can be really helpful because you can understand what exactly is this word, when is it used in other contexts, throughout Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament sort of stuff. So those are two great resources that I think can be helpful. Do you have any others?
I totally agree. Yeah, Bible background commentaries. You know, the deal with reading the Bible is in many cases you're reading it and it's a Bronze Age text, or it is a first century text. And the problem with you and me, Pastor Bethany, is that we're not Bronze Age or first century people. And we like to lift the Bible out of its context and put it squarely into our context. And that just doesn't, you butcher the interpretation that way.
Right.
And so you got to be real careful with that. So I think the Bible background commentaries are really good. I think more than anything, learning to read the Bible and just making a list of observations is huge. There's journaling Bibles that you could buy. A lot of times, like sometimes my process is this: I print the Bible out, like before a series.
Yeah,
I will print out an entire book of the Bible, and I will just make observations on it, and I'll ask questions. Good questions solve so much. What does this mean? Why is that? Why does it do this? Does this connect with that? You know, and there's good questions are so, so good. And then, yeah, finding some of those trusted resources. A Bible dictionary, like you said, is phenomenal. Bible background commentary is great. A lot of times, and this is what one of my life groups was just inductive method, and we stayed real strict that first time, and then we stopped. The first couple of times, and then we stopped being as strict with it because I would not let people make an application without going through observations. Mm-hmm. We had to do observations first. So one of the things that we learned is once we did that hard work of observation, and then we did the hard work of interpretation, and then we said, well, what does it mean to your life? You know, then they would open up in their Bibles and go to the notes section on the notes underneath, and they were like, whoa, that's the same thing the notes say. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, because they did this too.
Yep.
And if you do this too, you know, if you do the hard work of observation, you're gonna land there.
Yep.
But also, one of the most key, and this is why the disciplines build on each other, one of the most key things to do when you're studying the Bible is constant prayer.
Yep.
Lord, what do you want to say to me right now? And the, you know, God's word will never return void. It's, in that text, it talks about it, God's word is like a seed. I think it's Isaiah 50 or somewhere around there. And God's word is like a seed. It's planted and, you know, doesn't come back void.
Yep.
It bears fruit. Yep. So awesome.
Good.
Well, this has been a great conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And,
next week, Pastor Bethany, we're going to be back. She's going to be interviewing me because I'm going to talk about the outward disciplines. And we'll talk about all of those next week. Join us on Sundays at 10. And I guess any last words, Pastor Bethany?
No, just Pastor Dave, if you are a part of REC, Pastor Dave mentioned this earlier, that life groups are a great way to get connected. And so I just wanted to plug two life groups. I do a monthly contemplative prayer life group last Thursday of every month, and we're going to be digging into the disciplines. And then actually Pastor Dave has a group and I have a group that we are working through a new curriculum called Foundations, and that will help you to dig in and to create weekly rhythms of these disciplines. And so
in fact, the Foundations class has five practices and they're disciplines.
Yep.
Five disciplines weaved into the text, because we know you're not going to, you know, do all 12 disciplines.
Yep.
So five is manageable.
Yep.
And so we weave those into the text.
So. Yeah. So I guess my last thought would be, the thing that I would say is, we can give you all the information about what these are and how you might do them, but the only way that they become transformative to your life is if you actually practice them and you do them.
Amen. Amen. All right, cool. Well, hey, we'll see you guys Sunday at 10 a.m. Join us live or online. And hit us back next week on this podcast where we will do another one of these talking through the outward disciplines. We hope you have a great day, and you'll hear from us soon.
Thank you for listening to the River's Edge Church podcast with Pastor Dave Johnson. We hope you enjoyed this episode and that God has touched your heart through today's message. Please leave us a review and share with your friends. For more information about the ministries of REC, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. See the links in the description.